Ramsey TV.
Do you remember that scene in Annie Hall where Woody Allen had left New York to go to California to try to win Annie back, and his attempt fails? He gets in his car, he backs up, hits a bunch of other cars. He's flustered, of course, as Woody Allen tends to be. A policeman shows up. The policeman writes Woody Allen a ticket. Woody Allen grabs the ticket from the police officer, rips it up in front of him, and he says, "I'm sorry, officer, I have a real problem with authority." Ladies and gentlemen, those who would twist Romans chapter 13 to make this anything but subjection to superior authorities, which in this context is specifically civil authorities, has a problem with authority. It's too humiliating for some people, apparently, to be subject to an organization which they disdain, namely federal government. And so, not willing to be humbled, not willing to be sometimes even trampled upon by unfair government or cruel government, they become prudent in their own estimations, they become wise in their own estimations, and they become the arbiters of what government is good, what government is bad, and when we should be subject to any civil government, if at all. This is the exact opposite of what our apostle is teaching in Romans 13. Paul's desire for the saints was to lead mild and quiet lives. And anyone who is resisting an authority will not be leading a mild and quiet life, but will forever, at least during their lifetime, be hassled by the authority. Anyone who has refused to pay taxes finds this out. I'm not saying taxes are fair. That's not the point at all. The point is, in this context, as Paul says, yes, you do render taxes. Jesus Christ said the same thing. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. They accused our Lord of not paying his taxes to Rome. The Lord did pay his taxes to Rome because our Lord was an exemplary citizen to the Roman government, because guess what? Our Lord recognized this truth that all authority is under God, and there is not one authority except under God, and those which are have been set under God, so that he who is resisting an authority has withstood God's mandate. These men, Clyde Pilkington, Alan Burns, and Dwayne Galantine, are resisting and withstanding God's mandate. They have become their own arbiters in this matter. They have become the judges of what is legitimate government and what is not. And in fact, Clyde quotes, I will quote him from one of the Issues of the Bible Students notebook, in which he says, "There is no legitimate human government." I will quote him directly soon. This is irresponsible, it is unscriptural, and it is dangerous. In fact, I won't leave you hanging. I'm going to quote that passage right now because it seems incredible to you. This is from Bible Students Notebook 784. Clyde says this, Romans 13, this is a direct quote, Romans 13 is not speaking about the authority of national government. This is of specific importance since all national governments are currently illegitimate. I repeat, all national governments, this is Clyde Pilkington, are currently illegitimate. This is the exact opposite of what Paul is saying in Romans 13. This teaching is irresponsible, it is unscriptural, and it is dangerous. For if the saints come to believe that all national government, including the one you are under, all national government is illegitimate, then we are our own government. You become your own government. You do not have to be then subject to the governments that God has put over you because they're illegitimate. Clyde Pilkington said so. Paul says they have all been set by God. And that whoever is withstanding what has been set by God is withstanding God's mandate. And I suggested to you, I taught you yesterday that the entire context of Romans 13 is not rendering evil for evil. Anyone who, I repeat this from yesterday because this is important. Anyone who does not start a teaching on Romans chapter 13 in Romans chapter 12 is lost. And they will make unscriptural conclusions based on isolating Romans 13 from the divine context. And the divine context is not rendering evil for evil. And one of the examples Paul gives is being submissive to authorities that God has put in place. And the perfect example is our Lord Jesus Christ in front of Pontius Pilate. And for that matter, Paul in front of Festus, Paul in front of King Agrippa, Paul in the hold of Caesar in Rome. These men, Jesus Christ and Paul, were always respectful of the law, the civil authorities, and they recognized the truth that authorities are instituted by God. As we will see, Duane Galantine tries to make the case, states without evidence that all national governments are of Satan. I won't even argue that point. But anyone who does not realize that that is a relative statement, not an absolute statement, must realize that God directed Satan to install the evil government for whatever purposes God has. It is not ours to sit in judgment of God that his purpose for putting an evil government into place is misguided, wrong, or to be ignored by the saints, especially the saints. In fact, Paul is giving this injunction, this exhortation in Romans 13. I'm going to go to the greater context, which I touched on yesterday. He's doing it to protect the saints. I contend to you that much of the persecution of the early church in Rome is because some members of the early church were, as some people are today that call themselves Christians, they were militant. They were proud. They were arrogant. They shook their fist at Rome. Just like the Jews in Jesus' day wanted him to be a political conqueror and to shake his fist at Rome. Instead, Jesus Christ's deportment in front of Pilate is an example for us as he submits himself as a sheep before the shearers, and he stands before Pilate, who is representative of Caesar. And when Pilate says to him, "Do not you realize that I have the power to release you or the power to crucify you?" Our Lord said, with hands tied behind his back, "You would have no power over me unless it were given to you from above." This declaration of our Lord's makes two critical points. For one thing, our Lord recognized that Pilate had power. He didn't say, "You don't have any power." He didn't say, screw you, pilot, your government is illegitimate. Never considered the government of Rome to be illegitimate. Are you kidding me? Illegitimate? Did Jesus Christ once treat Rome as an illegitimate power? Oh, yes, it's a temporary power. Yes, it's a doomed power. No, it's not the power that will rule the nations during the millennium. But to say that it is an illegitimate power is an attempt as weak as Woody Allen's attempt to relieve oneself of responsibility that we have to the superior authorities that God has put over us at this time. This teaching by Clyde Pilkington and Dwayne Galantine, who are in cahoots, is irresponsible, it's unscriptural, and it's dangerous. And anyone who heeds this unscriptural teaching will land him or herself into heaps of trouble, heaps of hassle, and will possibly even lose their lives. That is what Paul is saying in Romans 13, because he says, not for vain is the authority wearing the sword. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Paul says, if you should be doing evil, fear, for not feignedly is it, that is the superior authority wearing the sword. The sword. Both Clyde Pilkington and Dwayne Galantine are teaching us that the authorities of the context of Romans 13:1 are the apostles, for God's sake, the apostles. Paul and the other men that are in charge of the ecclesias. How ludicrous. The ludicrosity is nearly incalculable. To imagine that Paul wandered among the ecclesias with a sword and threatened any disobedience to his exhortations with a proper beheading. And yet this is exactly what the Romans did. I wonder if this passage is Paul telling the saints to be subject to the Roman government. Don't be like these militant, and this is borderline militancy. Don't let these militant Christians over here, this is Paul, I'm getting behind the scenes here of the reasons Paul is saying this. You militant Christians out there, don't be like them who they defy the authorities, they gather where they're not supposed to gather, they go into the marketplaces and they preach in opposition to the law of the land, and guess what? They're arrested and they're killed and they're thrown to the lions. You see all these Christian movies of believers being thrown to the lions. You know who all those people are in those movies? Those are all the people who did not listen to Paul. And if you want to have people today, if you want to be one of these people who will not listen to Paul, you may not be thrown to the lions literally, but you certainly will be metaphorically. This teaching is irresponsible. It's careless. Because it's not careful in the scriptures, it is unscriptural, therefore, and it is also dangerous. And anyone adopting it will try themselves on all sides with pain. Jesus was so gracious to Pontius Pilate that the procurator wanted to release him and would have were it not for the pressure of the Jews. The Roman government saved the Apostle Paul from the Jews. I repeat, the Roman government saved Paul from the Jews, who would have killed him, torn him limb from limb, as he testified from the steps of the Sanhedrin building or wherever he was, saying that he was authorized by Christ to speak to the nations. They would have torn him limb from limb except the Roman government saved him, and they actually gave him an escort of hundreds of horsemen and soldiers to deliver him safely to Caesarea. Because some of the Jews had taken an oath to not eat until they killed Paul, because they were jealous of Paul, because Paul was getting attention from the nations who, according to the Jews, were supposed to be pigs and dogs who begged for scraps from Israel's table. Boy, this is sad. As far as I know, I'm the only one who does not start Romans 13:1 at Romans 13:1. Romans 13:1 is uninspired. There's no such thing as Romans 13:1 because there were no chapter headings or verses in the original scriptures. So Paul is running right from Romans chapter 12 into Romans 13. He's leaking right into it because he's not beginning a new chapter. He's not. The people who put the scriptures together, they put the chapter in there. And once you get rid of the number 13 and the number 1, and you run Romans 12 into Romans 13, then you will understand the context, and then you will see it is impossible for the superior authorities of this context to be the apostles. Bloody possible. Effing possible for that, for this to be the apostles because of this context. Which begins at the end of Romans 12:16. Paul, to the Romans, do not come to pass for prudent with yourselves. To no one render evil for evil, making ideal provision in the sight of all men. Ideal provision in the sight of all men. Ideal provision in the sight of all men. Paul, even the Romans, Paul? Yeah, even the Romans. If possible, that which comes out from yourselves. I told you yesterday the saints were to be living letters. They were supposed to be light. They're supposed to be gracious. And part of that graciousness is to be subject to the superior authorities and to not fight the governments. And to ensure that they not do that and get them their stupid selves killed, Paul says that all the governments that are under God. God has placed each one in its place for its time. And again, I reiterate this. It's all temporary. The governments suck. I'm not saying that they're great. I'm not saying that they're permanent. I'm just saying that they are a temporary expedient. For one thing, for there to be law. And for another thing, to effect God's will on the earth, be that will for good or for evil. Being at peace with all mankind, Paul says. Being at peace. But this teaching from Clyde Pilkington will have you set at war against the superior authorities, against the civil authorities, against whatever government is God has placed over you. This will put you at war with that government because it's illegitimate. It's not of God. It's of Satan. Therefore, you are legitimized in fighting it. You are legitimized in ignoring it. You are legitimized in hating it. This is really damn close to human free will. Really close to human free will. If not that, then satanic free will. Yeah, that's even worse if you ask me. And Mr. Galantine tells us that these all national governments are run by Satan. I'm not even denying that, but I'm saying that God set them in place via his, quote, left-hand man, Satan. That's the message here. Back to the context. To no one, render evil for evil, making ideal provision in the sight of all men. if possible, that which comes out from yourselves. If possible. It is possible for you to do this. Being at peace with all mankind, you are not avenging yourselves, beloved, but be giving place to His indignation. His indignation. The context is God's indignation. Why would God's indignation be coming upon the apostles who are running the ecclesias? Why would anyone want to wreak vengeance on the apostles who are running the ecclesias, especially in light of the fact that this letter is being written to one of those ecclesias? But people in Jesus's day were itching to avenge themselves against Rome. They wanted a political savior, not a spiritual savior. And so they clamored for Jesus Christ to be a political savior. People today, Christians today, are of the same mindset. They don't like the fact that foreign powers are over them. And yes, they're foreign powers. I acknowledge that. The rightful owner of everything is God. But for the time being, God has set these authorities into place. And you go against them, you hate them, you disobey them at your own risk. Good luck with that. Paul's trying to help you here. Let him. Giving place to His indignation, for it is written, mine is vengeance, I will repay, the Lord is saying. And this is Paul. Okay, that's the theory. Now here comes the practical example of how to do that. Now Paul is giving practical examples of how to not render evil for evil. Here comes his instructions on how not to render evil for evil and how to not be indignant in your own power, in your own strength, in your own opinion of yourself, in your own self-prudence. Paul's telling you how to do that now. Verse 20, Romans 12. If your enemy should be hungering, give him the morsel. If he should be thirsting, give to him the drink. For in doing this, you will be heaping embers of fire on his head. Be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Be subject to the superior authorities. Let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. I'm going to repeat that last phrase, and I want you to notice, as I read this again, that I completely rolled over the artificial 13:1 heading. If your enemy should be hungering, give him the morsel. If he should be thirsting, give him the drink. For in doing so, you will be heaping embers of fire on his head. Be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. The instruction of Paul to be subject to the superior authorities is a practical way to not be conquered by evil, but to conquer evil with good. And the good of this context, the only good of this context, is being subject to the superior authorities. That is the good of the context. And the evil of the context is resisting the authority. This whole passage, the tenor of it, has to do with not rendering evil for evil and being good to your enemies, being good to your enemies. So just put a colon at the end of verse 21 of Romans chapter 12. Be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Colon, let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. That is a great way to conquer evil with good. In this context, the superior authority must be evil, or Paul's diatribe makes no sense whatsoever. The authorities must be evil. So these people who say, oh, we only have to obey the government as long as they're good. And when they become evil, then we're allowed to resist them. Not only is that not true, but the opposite is true. You are to be subject to them even when they are evil. And that serves the purpose of what Paul is teaching here, that you do not render evil for evil, but you render good to evil. How do I do that, Paul? How do I render good for evil? That sounds like a pretty high concept. That sounds like a concept of God and Christ. Paul says, here's how you do it. Let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. Ooh, that's a tall order, Paul, because the superior authorities are evil, because the guy running Rome right now is Nero. Paul says, yeah, I know. But this is what I'm telling you to do. This is the same as giving your enemy food when he's hungering, giving your enemy drink when he's thirsting. This is the same thing. Be subject to your enemy, as our Lord was in front of Pilate. As our Lord was in front of Pilate, and as Paul was in front of Agrippa, Festus, and Caesar. Exemplary citizens, because they recognized the sovereignty of God, and they could see through the intermediary hand of Satan into God's plan, his plan for now. And part of it, part of our charge from our Apostle Paul, is not to render evil for evil, not to become prudent in our own estimation. And the best way to do that now, you have a golden opportunity to live out this great truth and this great grace. And that is to be subject to even evil authorities. No, especially to evil authorities.